You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Boardwalk Empire After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Boardwalk Empire After Show.
Well, here we are back. Bing is for doing, and we are doing AfterBuzz TV's Boardwalk Empire. I am your host. Really happy to be back. We're just happy to be watching this again. Kevin Undergaro, and sitting across the table from me are two of my steady co-hosts. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves.
All right. Happy Sunday, everybody. I'm Sarah Stratton.
Hey there, Sarah. I am Bethany Jaber, and I am just so excited to be here today.
And of course, we are so sad to be missing Ebony, but I think she's back next week.
I think so.
We really need her.
I know.
She's got a great take on the history. This is season 4, episode 6, The North Star. And I don't know. I loved it because I love this show. I loved the episode.
Overall impressions is love. I'm feeling kind of mixed emotions. I feel like the pot's being stirred, and I like that. But going through the episode, this isn't my favorite episode of the season.
I'm curious as to the title. Who is the North Star? What is the North Star? And I'm kind of looking forward to getting into that in a little bit because I honestly have no idea. I just don't know. Like, I felt like we're almost starting with like a new slate of exposition because we were so heavy into Chicago last week. Now we're really getting into Tampa that I'm like, what is going on? Where are we?
I mean, I feel like we've talked so much about the power of women this season, and I feel like this episode furthered that by calling it the North Star and then the women really being the sense of direction and taking it through places. I mean, the line was actually said by, I believe, Tommy towards Richard, like he's explaining him how to get home. Mm-hmm. But it's really getting home to Julia, and Julia is the driving force there. And then as well, you see daughter Matlin kind of guiding the way, Sally, Margaret showing that she knows so much and knows Nucky so well.
Such a cryptic conversation.
Exactly. I mean, I just felt that the North Star was really pointing to the women of this
episode.
And
I also think, and further, homecoming. We're all going home. Everyone's going back to who they are, what they're supposed to be. And if you notice all the characters, you're seeing that. And I think what they're doing with the women on the show is incredible. I think why the show, and hopefully it'll just keep spending the money to give it to us, but what is so interesting is we have so many different worlds. We've got Tampa, we've got New York, we've got New Jersey, we've got Chicago. Mm-hmm. There's so many legs to this. I love how we have Dr. Narcisse and we have Knox, two super villains who are totally different than what we've seen before and more powerful and more twisted. And I think on other shows, you always get that one supervillain a season, you know? And with us now, we have two. I don't know. I'm just...
No, I agree with that. And the men were so unsettled this episode. I felt unsettled. I like my men strong and, you know, bearing their axes and guns and whatever they need to do to get things done. And they, it was really the women's episode this time. You're absolutely right. Because, like, we began in Penn Station, which was amazing.
Yeah,
I'm just always, you know, when you visit New York, you get to see what Grand Central looks like. But I think Penn Station, they took it down. And don't quote me on this. I want to say they took it down in the 60s. But it was supposed to be just so incredibly magnificent. And we open up there with Nucky super present and the cup is just rattling and he's unsettled and they're all unsettled and it's, well, you know, unsettling.
Showing you that this whole world is shaking and you're trying to find out, he's trying to figure out what's wrong with his life. It's unsettling him so much. And I think we're led a little bit to believe it's Eddie. And then he tries to find stabilization in Margaret and she's just not having it. In the end, what's really knocking him back into the moment is Sally.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll get into all the specifics, but yeah. I, you know, like, I tell you guys every time we're watching this, I'm like, I want to time travel so bad. The show may, I mean, they do such a great job of creating the 20s.
They really do.
It's a beautiful world.
In all different parts of that world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, you like this many, many different areas, sectors thing. But for me, sometimes it leaves you so on edge for so long, like, because you can't cover everything in one episode right now.
No.
You see everyone basically every other episode.
Yep.
And it's like, are you intrigued enough? Are you motivated enough, like, yeah. each week that, because, like, right now we have so much buildup with Eli. And what if we don't see him next week? Like, I want answers next week, but most likely I'm going to have to wait a while. And then it's like, I don't know.
It feels like it's every other episode.
I know. I'm not sure if I really like that.
I think coming off Breaking well, coming off Breaking Bad, that's so intense.
Yeah.
I'm relieved a little bit right now that, and I just I like the idea that we have legs. And let me flip this then.
Okay.
Because I agree with what you're saying. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't agree with it. I understand. Let me flip this and ask you: could you go without Chalky? Could you go without?
I could go without
Chicago,
little,
without the Capone.
I could go with a little bit less of the Chalky daughter Matland information if they brought Dr. Narcisse a little bit more into that. Like, we spent so much time without this episode. We didn't see them really connect to anyone else. We saw a little bit of family ties, but we didn't get to see that world connect with the big picture.
But I'm asking more specifically. Just, I mean, I'm not asking that specific about Chalky. I'm saying, are you willing to lose Jersey, lose Chicago? You know, if you just, you know, are you willing to lose all those things? I'm not personally. I love the acting. I love the worlds. I love how they do.
I can lose one of them. I can lose one.
I can't let go. I can't. Also, I feel like it's organic the way they put them together. I don't feel like it's forced. I agree, like, sometimes we take a step maybe too far where we get into their families, but then all those have made – that's all revealed to me who Chalky is.
True.
So I just – I'm just not ready to
– I get it. I mean, for me, some of it was maybe in some of the directing this episode. Maybe that's it. Like, I understand the need for the song and the exposition that it was.
Oh, going to the song. Yeah. That's a different subject.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
We'll talk about
this. But I think, like, you know, like, it, maybe some of it is the direction. It's not threading. I'm not ready to part with any of these worlds, but yet I understand
I mean,
in the way
if
it's been.
One completely was gone all of a sudden, I'd be sad because I wouldn't be like,
right.
Resolution.
You would bum out.
No, but if, like, next episode some big huge thing happened and then two episodes from now one sector was kind of killed off or something or got like squandered, I'd be okay.
I think we just want our cake and we want to eat it
too.
I think we're just like, can we have the cake and can you do my laundry for me while I watch this?
I think if we could watch this, you know, whatever, 16 hours or, you know, 10 hours, whatever it is, mm-hmm. in one sitting or, say, three sittings, let's say, you know,
yeah.
we'd probably be okay.
We might need some meal breaks.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
You know what?
It
you know,
depends
I don't
on
want
how
to digress.
Often you have to.
But the Oscars, you know, AMC has this great, AMC Movie Theater has this great program that they'll play all the Oscar-nominated films in a row.
They do.
And they have people that will go in there for 14, 15. And to me, that's a dream. I could totally do that.
They, God, now I'm digressing, but the day before the Oscars, they have forums in which all the cinematographers that have been nominated and all the editors and directors have been nominated, and it's totally free. You can go to the Egyptian and you can sit and do a Q&A with them. It's amazing.
And how much would you learn about the business? That's insane.
So much.
I'm
it's
totally
amazing.
In now.
I go every year. I love it. I
all
love
right,
it
in.
So much.
We're going. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, anyway, so but tonight there was one thing that dragged, the singing. For me, dragged.
Yep.
When some of the singing acts we've seen in the past have been so funny and quirky,
mm-hmm.
and then that music has also just tied into what was going on to the scene.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, was it Nucky and his mistress and her little song and mm-hmm. song routine. It just so much was going on in the room. It was so interesting. Tonight was, I just, meh. I would a couple of lines and let's get out of it.
I agree with you.
We've also
Absolutely.
Seen her sing quite a bit. Like she sings like almost full songs a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, they do. I think that it's good that at least the songs relate to story and kind of relate to the emotional tension or whatever's going on between her and Chalky. Like each time, like they're each very.
So wait. So were you okay with that?
I felt like today's could have been shorter. Her singing in the past hasn't bothered me, and it didn't, like, I was fine with the Sunday Stroll one with the son playing piano.
Yeah, no, I haven't had a problem up till now. I just thought tonight was like, I get it, Chalky, you know, has his eyes on her, and I'm out. Like, that's all
There's
I'm saying.
Too much.
Yeah, for me, I just needed it contrast by either, like, a really high-energy scene before it, so then I could enjoy the lull, but it just felt like lull
and again, but
to
I don't,
lull
listen,
to lull.
I don't personally, unless you guys want to talk about that more, I don't want to dwell on it because I love tonight's episode and I love this series. I can totally live with it.
I agree.
Let's start out by talking about someone who's our favorite, which is Richard. So we see... we see Richard's, I don't want to call him father-in-law, but.
Ken is.
He's probably got cirrhosis of the liver or, you know, something where it's shot with him.
It's done.
He's got liver spots on his hands and, you know, and he's dying. And Richard, to me, it's almost like a guardian angel.
To me, it was just interesting. I mean, you said that out loud while we were watching. I don't know if you knew you did that, but you're like, he's like the guardian angel.
Oh, such a loser.
But to me, it also reminded me of, I believe when we first met Richard, it was in a similar hallway in like a medical
setting. It's the same hallway. It's the vet hallway where they're about to get tested for,
I want to say it was like post-traumatic stress disorder or something. So to get him re-involved with everyone and with this town again in the same place, I thought was bringing things really full circle, except for now he's being very honest about what he does and who he is. And so although we're back to the beginning, he's coming back like an open book to these people. And so I really liked that re-entry. It was kind of weird because I was like, why is he there? Maybe this weird broken arm thing. Who knows where that's coming
from? No, vet hospital,
from.
That's where you would get your treatment.
Yeah.
You know, back then. The vet world. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I'm glad he's back.
I am who I am. Who else could I be?
Oh, God.
Right?
God, that just breaks your heart. Yeah. I mean, it explains all of everything, all of his drinking, all of Paul's abuse. You're like, okay. I mean, it's not forgivable, but it just really opens your eyes to go, okay, this is why you've been so awful for the last season.
Yeah. And the girl from blowing the girl's head off.
But I thought it was funny at the beginning of that story, what he says that causes him to kill her is the fact that she couldn't provide the substantial proof, which was kind of a theme of the episode.
Yes, absolutely.
Being able to have these legal justifications, these documentations, these letters, like we see it with them trying to get the safety deposit box open by using the law. And then it's reiterated in this story where he says that he basically had to. He was forced by this higher power that demands a certain like justification, but justification isn't actually doing justice. So, like, the justification was to get this identity, but he killed her without, and that was really going against justice. And that the safety deposit box is the same thing. They're trying to uphold the law by saying, giving you these letters, do these whole things. And then he comes in with a badge, and everything that law is put in place for gets broken.
Yeah. Ooh.
So, but I think it was also somewhere else, and I can't remember where another theme
proof
was.
Just with Eddie and Eli looking through Eddie's stuff, just, you know, being like, he had a son? I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I thought I knew you, but I don't. And that's, you know, trying to find out who somebody is.
And we'll get into Eli and the fact he doesn't even know his own son, but just, you know, going to sticking with Richard.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that they know. These people know who Richard is. That's what's really interesting that the dad does. And, you know, this dad is just always this mean guy who hates everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's like, Richard, he turned into another guy, another person.
Well, he was another person. He just found out he was, like, dying.
Yeah.
That changes you.
It does
change. You need the help of...
It does. But then also, you know...
But that's who Richard is, though. But he knew who Richard really was.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that guys like that. Like, I totally buy into that character of the father, who just hates everyone who's negative, but knows who people are. He knows who Richard is. And to me, that makes you a hero. You know, he said, you know, about killing all the guys. And he knows he'll be good to the daughter. And
okay, but Paul is accepting, right? Paul's accepting, but is Julia accepting?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Wait, no, because you're smarter than all of us, it seems, on this. So you tell me, because I was...
I feel like Margaret, Julia's very knowing. Like, when Tommy walks the other way, and he goes, "Are you coming?" She said something along the lines like, "Of course he's coming." It's an intelligence, it's a knowing of who they are, but I don't know if she's willing to accept it. Like, Margaret wasn't willing to accept Nucky back into his life. She's fully aware of what he does and who he is, and they can have all these conversations with all these underlying texts, but she doesn't want a part of it. Julia is walking that line because she knows, but she hasn't really opened her heart again, in my mind. Like, it's more of just a...
She's also kind of cold.
She's aware.
She's also... cold and tough and...
Okay, she might be cold and tough, but in their first, like, get-together, she was the one who made him kiss her.
Because she's the
she
guy. She's,
yeah,
she's the driving
she's the
force.
Dude lady.
That's what I think.
Yeah. But I felt like she was okay with who he is. What she was pissed about
she
was that he left.
Proof too.
That's it.
But she asked for proof, too. She asked for him to prove that he... what he was going to do to make sure she would say that she would believe in him. And he doesn't know what he can do to prove to her.
But she still says he's coming.
He's coming.
She knows. That doesn't mean she's still waiting. She's not like fully embracing him with open arms. He still has things to do.
I just don't think she's a fully embrace open arms type of chick either.
No.
But I agree what you're saying. She's got her skepticism, but I just thought it was the sweetest moment. And what a great shot on the bridge.
Yes.
With the little boy, "Are you coming?" And we all were like, got choked up. And she's like, "He's coming."
And I mean, what is a bridge but an in-between place?
Right.
You know,
true.
And they're going back onto land. So I think they'll be together. I think it would be nice to have one happy family. It would be cool.
You know what, Sarah?
Here's why. Very irregular family.
Yes.
Here's why you might be right, Sarah. You know, it may be more, their relationship may be just for the boy. You know, it might just be for Tommy.
Ooh.
And that's where maybe you're right. Like, maybe she's not going to cross the line with kissing and things like that. Maybe it's going to be he needs you in his life. He needs me. And I think she's got to be spooked from Jillian.
Mm-hmm.
And what she doesn't know is I think Jillian's going to clean up now with her new guy, and I think they're going to come back for Tommy strong.
Yeah.
Or stronger than ever. She's going to need Richard.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it might not be a sexual thing. It may just be that they're partners in raising them. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, it was great. It was nice.
Totally.
It was where we love poor Richard. Just
he's back. That's good.
Yeah. And he's back in that world.
Yep.
But as usual, because he's so kick ass, I just think some of our other parties are going to need him at some point.
Of course they are.
Yeah, we all need Richard.
It's going to be Jillian's fault. That's what it's going to be.
What do you mean?
I mean, you think that Jillian's going to come back and play hardball with getting Tommy back.
Yeah.
I think that she's going to play dirty, and Richard's going to have to get involved.
She's totally going to play dirty. It's in her. You kidding me? She's wired that way. What this guy's going to do, and you know, it wasn't in this episode, but to me, what's going to happen
is for the early predictions, everybody.
He's going to get her off the junk.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still wired. And just completely programmed the way she is from the damage she went through with Commodore that, oh, no, she's just going to become a clearer head, which is more scary.
Which is dangerous.
Which is more scary. Oh, yeah, you know, you're totally right. But now she's going to have a clear mind. And she's going to have this guy's money and his power. So that's what I'm saying. She's going to pull out all the stops. And Richard, and by the way, the girlfriend or whatever we're going to call her, she's got Jillian's number. She also knows people.
Mm-hmm.
She's very smart. Her, the dad, and Richard, they're very dialed in. They know that Jillian could be off the junk and going teaching Sunday school. They know who she really is. And they know that boy is not safe or not going to have a healthy life under her reign. But
absolutely.
We talked about Chalky.
We did.
A bit.
And we did.
I love Chalky. And I know a lot of our fans have been saying they think he's gonna perish and get it. I totally disagree.
I'm with you on that one. Absolutely. He runs too, and you said this earlier, Kevin, parallel to Naki for that to happen. I mean, they're both living similar lives, just in,
like,
you know,
brothers from another mother, as they say.
Exactly. Yeah. There we go.
And they're the true partners, I think, the way they came together last year. And
I mean, they've
go ahead, Sarah. You've got that look in your face. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking, it's like, for me in these shows, especially on HBO, as like a kind of network in general, it's always the ones that you don't expect or don't want. And
not always.
Almost always.
No. Nope.
Or, I mean, there's some of the justification kills that you're like, thank you, this finally happened. But there's a lot of them that you, and I'd never even thought about Chalky kind of being the one to get the axe. So the fact that I'm so shocked makes me think that he will.
I have this weird superpower.
What is this weird superpower?
I've always been able to look at these shows and kind of know who the people are behind the actors.
Okay. I trust you. I believe you.
And my thing is that I'm due to be wrong. I mean, at some point, but I think that.
But if Chalky dies and lives as this parallel to Naki, maybe Naki will get a warning out of it.
Maybe, but my point is, and I have nothing to base this off other than instinct. Is I think I have a handle on one when an actor is well liked. Because of what kind of person he is outside of the role.
Yeah.
And more often than you think, when these guys and girls get killed off sooner, more often than you think, it's because they're difficult.
Yeah.
Or they don't get along, or there's just not that love affair. Mm-hmm. So it's either like, you know, okay, this is good for the show, boom, or it's really difficult to work with. Get them out. And on this show, especially because you have so many characters, you can't kill anyone. I have a feeling that the actor is a great guy, and I think he's very well liked by the show.
Yeah.
I know some of the producers, I never want to ask because I don't want to know.
No, I understand that.
But that's just a feeling. And when he does, or if he does, it'll be more toward the end, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he is such a work in progress as a character as well. There's so much more for him to do and grow.
And
you don't cut him off now when he's in the kind of, as I said, the nouveau riche suits, and he's finding his way dealing with the race clashes, with he's dealing with culture clashes, money, like a different social class to be in now.
And at every turn, he's emasculated. Every when he goes home, he's emasculated. He's in business, he's emasculated. Like, it's like he's just such a almost easy character to write for because he has so many obstacles. I think you're going with
and
that.
And I think where you're bumping your head, Nucky's always bumping his head, it seems like. And this character bumping and growing and kind of, whereas a lot of the other ones are just, they are who they are. Or they grow just a little bit. Like Doyle's Doyle. And Eli is Eli, and Eli is grown a little bit, but I don't see him really going to continue on that growth thing. I think it's him and his 8 kids, and that's it. And we're going to see problems with the son because of that. But with Chalky, he's just growing so much that I see that in Naki, and that's why I don't think he goes. Narcisse, he's not growing. He's there. He's arrived.
He's an obstacle. That's what he is. He's just this pillar.
And that means somebody that like Jip, who could be, you know. Yeah. So anyway, but other than the song going a little long, I love his world and I love always seeing everything going on there.
Is there a new love affair?
Well, let's talk about that. So you guys were talking about violent love. What were you saying?
God, it was really the episode of violent sex. I mean, Naki was having his and Chalky was having his as well. And it was just, it was coming from a very, I don't know.
Brutal?
Carnal and just.
There was some throat grabbing.
A deep inability to communicate. They really could not verbally say what they wanted to say to each other. So physically it just happened. And it was really, it was very intense. I don't think they like each other at all. But I think it's that dislike that makes them, I don't know, just collide.
I mean, I agree with you. I can't really figure out where her motivations, what she wants. That's where I'm like, is she a pawn? Is she, I mean, we know she's brought in.
You can't.
No, go ahead, keep talking.
No, it's like, but she's obviously brought in by Dr. Narcisse. That's mm-hmm. how she got this gig. And she's not really seeming to do her job because she's making everyone feel like downers in the club or whatnot. So I'm like, is she a spy? Is she being, she's definitely being, well, she, I mean, Kevin, do you have something to say?
No, keep talking.
Well, no, is she an artist? Is she a spy? Is, like, yeah, what does she
does
want
she
out of
like
this?
Does she just like to mess things up and have things mm-hmm. be messy and play with men's emotions? I mean.
Is she there to take his business from him?
I want to know what she wants. What does she want, Kevin?
Martin is in the booth. He's a fan of the show. Now, Martin, you wanted me to do something, say something racist tonight, so I didn't let the fans down.
Excellent.
I was going to say, no, she's both.
She's both?
Yeah, I think she's an artist, and I also think that she's a spy to a degree. And I think that Narcisse is her pimp.
Yeah.
I think she's going to get conflicted because
emotionally, do you think she has connections to Narcisse? I'm not talking about business because we know she has business connections. Do you think she has emotional connections to Narcisse?
Some, but I think she probably knows what he is, which is the devil. And when she sees Chalky, who's human but flawed, I think she's gonna probably switch eyes.
But swayed by him.
But this show is all about women being powerful, mm-hmm. so we have to see what she does with that. Does she use that power over Chalky to help Narcisse or help herself? I don't know. I just know there's much more going on. There's much more going on than she's just a singer who just is like, she's a good singer and she's put in this club and then she happens to, you know, like Chalky. No, mm-hmm. no. There's way more than that. Way more. What was one of the lines that really grabbed me? And Listen, Breaking Bad, the subtext in these lines, there's always another meaning to all the lines mm-hmm. and the symbolism. And we go up 10 minutes after, so it's so hard to mm-hmm. dissect it all, let alone do it with watching it once. But when Chalky ever said, "What's it matter what I want?"
Mm-hmm. To his wife at dinner.
It's just, again, it wasn't just to the wife. To me, it just meant so much. Yeah. What does it matter what I want? Narcisse is telling me what to do at my club. Mm-hmm. You know, society is telling me what I can and can't be. You know, if I want this woman, it doesn't matter because I have my wife. If I want my daughter to marry, what does it matter what I really want? What does it matter?
I can have black entertainers, but only white people can be customers at my club. I mean, what does it matter what he wants? It's true. It's probably the truest statement that was said this evening.
And sad, too.
Yeah.
But then it's crazy because then later we see him say, "I wanted you last night." And that has the double meaning because you're led to believe that it's, I wanted you in my bed last night. I wanted you physically last night. But it was he wanted her performance as
business-wise
last night. Like, so it's still never really getting satisfaction.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't. He's really trapped. And I love that. And that's why I don't think this character goes away. Because he's got so much more to do.
Ones that.
Well, I think let's talk about the fact that I thought that was great writing because I thought it was he was talking to her because mm-hmm. why didn't you come see me and this is why there's such hope for him to beat Narcisse, where Narcisse has his number and his levels beyond him as far as an opponent, and yet so you would have thought that it would have been all about his loins and all about just banging the singer mm-hmm. and that would have shown how superior Narcisse is. But what I liked is when he's done reaming her out, it's like, oh, wait, he's not reaming her out because he didn't get a booty call. He's reaming her out because she didn't do her job. What, you know, her job at the club, and this is what I need done, and this is my club, and you answer to me. And I'm like, that's the Chalky I know, and that's why he's got it in him to beat Narcisse. But anyway.
Hopefully he maintains that business sense after having sex with her.
No, he's going to stumble, like Nucky. No, but that's why we root for him, and we root for Nucky to a degree because they're finding their way. But I think we root for him even more than Nucky because he's not as corrupt as Nucky.
No, he's not as corrupt, and he is so much more going against the grain for him.
Yeah, he's an underdog.
Yeah.
Super, super, super duper. Okay, so let's talk about Knox.
Our psychopath.
This is, again, why I love this show. I say it a lot. But I love the fact that they have given us, like Narcisse, a villain that we've never seen before who's so much more loathable, I think, than Jip.
Oh, yes.
So much more.
He's just creepy.
Because
he's scary.
At least Jip was honest and clear that he was awful. I am awful. This is who I am. I'm a beast. I'm a terrible human being. I will hurt you. I'm a wild dog. But Knox is not that. He is not who he says he is. And I mean, nobody ever likes that ever. No, I mean it's just not redeemable quality.
There's just no warning for all these characters that we care about, or like Eli. You want them to be able to see through it. You want them to be able to see past it. And it's that inability for them to see the truth, although now we might have gotten a glimmer of hope in that department. And that's what's scary. It's like it's the wolf in sheep's clothing. It's just sitting right in front of you. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much I want to talk about. So I want to talk historically about Hoover. But I want to, while this is on my mind, these you two, both actresses and very well studied. What I like is when I see this guy with Eli, he's hunched over, he's sniveling, he's all, weak.
Low status.
Mm-hmm. And and then when he's with, when he goes to the bank, let's say, and he,
with Doyle.
Or when he's with Eddie, you just see a whole other person.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't going to be clear, but hopefully it will be. It's one of the first times I've seen an actor, and this is credit to the director and the producers of the show, but when he's in those roles, when he's in the role of I'm weak and, I'm just on the payroll to you guys and oh, sir, whatever you need, I'll do, he never gives an indication, like a wink to the camera that I've seen other characters always do traditionally. So if they're acting, all sniveling, they have that little glare, like when no one's looking. Mm-hmm. This guy doesn't. He's fully committed as an actor, and this maybe it's the director or the producers. He's fully committed to just literally a different person he becomes. Yeah. And then when he's with Eddie and he becomes the sadist, he goes from masochist to sadist, but when he becomes the sadist, whole other guy. And again, I love that.
It's amazing. I like to call it your personal dynamic. Like and this happens. I think this happens with our favorite actors. Like when we look at their face. Like when you look at his face, he looks just angelic with doing nothing. Just quite literally. Like actually, he is doing something. He's letting us watch him. He's being still. And that's one of the hardest things that probably it's really hard to do.
By the way, so you guys know Bethany's such a trained actress. Like you teach. It's like that's why I love having you on this show. And Sarah's the same thing, but your baby, she's just got out of school.
Yeah.
But it's great though, but it's great that you can give us that. Please give us more.
No, but he's allowing us to watch him, but just by his coloring and the shape of his face, we the audience, and you know this from writing and directing, we're just projecting so much onto him. We're like, oh, he's a newbie. He's just this new little detective policeman guy, because he looks so angelic, but with a personal dynamic, we project that, and then what is revealed is that he's a demon. He's horrible. He's just so terrible. Amy Adams does this really well. In every film that she ever does, we look at her and we're like, oh my gosh, poor little mouse lost in the world. What could possibly happen? And what she proves to us is that she's strong and she can do it and everything's okay. And those end up being our greatest actors, ones that have a very strong personal dynamic. And it's part of their essence and it's what makes them really fabulous. I could play that game all day long. The personal dynamic game. George Clooney, you look at him and you're like, whoa, you're so handsome. You're never going to hang out with me. This will never happen. And then what you find out is what?
He's a nice guy.
He's charming. He's got the it factor. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll like, not only when your truck broke down, did he help you change your tire, but then he like bought you a beer.
Okay. So it couldn't. Then we're going to really digress.
It's proving people's judgments.
I love
it. But that's why Knox is such a great character.
But can I tell you why I admire this actor more than George Clooney?
Okay.
Because that's who Clooney really is.
Yeah.
He is that guy. He comes into a bar or a restaurant. George!
Yeah.
He goes from table to table. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got such a movie star charisma.
Yeah.
Will Smith, same way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's even Jack Nicholson, who's a little darker, it's mm-hmm. the same, but it's the same thing, just that huge.
Yeah.
So I always say it's the difference between a movie star and an actor.
Yeah.
And we have very few people, unlike Europe, but has both.
Yeah,
we have very
true.
Few people that are stars and actors. I feel Penn is a star and an actor.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Christian Bale is a star and an actor. We have very few of them.
Yeah.
And this kid to me is an actor because he's going from. He goes, like you said, just with his look,
mm-hmm.
in his inner dynamic, he has us going, oh my God, look at this,
so
like,
cool.
Yeah, he's this soft little guy trying to earn and climb his way up the ladder. And then, like that other scene, we see something totally different. And I don't know, I throw it out there. I think it's.
No, he's really impressive. I mean, it would be nice for him to be nominated for an Emmy. It would be great. I don't think it's going to happen.
No,
you have to campaign. That's a whole
process.
We
have too many characters on the show.
It's true.
So who do you go to? It's such a process. But he's a baby, so
you're going to do it with Jeffrey Wright.
He's this talented, he's going to be fine.
Yeah,
and you're right, it is.
Absolutely.
It's a Jeffrey Wright. talking about Hoover, you know, J. Edgar, it's like he is the ultimate. It's interesting that the ultimate chess player, the ultimate sadist, the ultimate psychopath is J. Edgar Hoover. And to see him advising this kid,
but not having very much faith in him.
Oh.
Well, this is why this kid is going to be such a force. Because Knox is actually saying, there's the Cosa Nostra, there's organized crime. This is way before it was named that.
Mm-hmm.
This kid's, they're giving him the role of the guy, at least in this fictitious world, that uncovers the mafia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That had never been heard of up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So think of how smart this kid is. Really, forget the fact he's evil and he's twisted. He's really smart. He's onto something before everyone else. And Hoover, he's still wanting to chase the anarchists. And they mentioned Ethel Goldman and all these real characters in history. And that's where Hoover was at. And what happens in history is that Hoover starts to see the mobsters get a ton of press, start making fools out of the cops. Mm-hmm. And Hoover, who was not at all about justice, he was all about self-serving, about press.
Oh, absolutely.
Opportunism. Horrible, horrible guy that put whatever. And made it till 1972 in power. And the day he dies, they fire everyone in his staff. Because his power was, it took him to die for his power to finally be gone. He had everything on the president's show. Bad, bad, bad guy. And the ultimate chess player who nobody could beat. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, everyone, the Kennedys tried, Nixon, everybody tried to beat this guy. Nobody could. And the fact that this punk, Knox, is actually even ahead of him, and the fact that now he's going to be tutored by him, oh, my God, we're really going to see what Nucky has in him revealed. Because I can't think of a bigger nemesis. And then on top of it, Narcisse. Very interesting. And
true, but he laid down. He has a little, although I'm not denying his smartness or anything, there's a weakness. In this episode, we see the handkerchief handed over with the initials J something something. And, I mean, the only explanation we can have for that is that's his real identity. And we've had that J. Edgar, and I guess a different episode at one point, called him Jim.
Right.
And his name is supposed to be Knox.
Listen, no.
So, I mean,
he's going to, you know, it's funny. We haven't seen the crack in Narcisse. I'm so glad we saw the crack because I'm hating this kid so much.
I know.
I'm just saying, fasten your seatbelts because the guy behind him, as I said, is the ultimate mover and shaker.
Yeah.
Beyond Gaston Means, beyond everyone else. You got 10 minutes. Oh. What, they're trying to throw us out?
Oh, goodness.
Really?
Yes, that's per Marissa. I just threw
per Marissa.
I'm a good soldier, I'm not the general.
So we're going to have to speed talk, guys.
I guess we will. All right, that's my fault. Sorry.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Knox and Eli.
Let us talk about Knox and Eli.
And Eli and his wife, and Eli and Doyle, and the whole thing. And interesting, Doyle talking about rats and the cane, and it's like, ooh, Doyle,
what
you're
did
not,
you always think he understands say, what's going on?
I'm
going
to use it to club rats. That's what he says.
It's very interesting.
Like, that he's
then use it now. Yeah. Come on.
I know.
But Doyle was looking at him very interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, I just found it so funny that they're putting Eli and Mickey Doyle in such close proximity because we do have the secret of what's going on with Willie still in the mix. And if they both really got into talking, they would kind of know more.
Well, they're partners, so they're going to be together.
I know, but it still hasn't come up. Like, Nucky knows that Doyle gave him liquor,
But it may not need to come up.
Eventually it will. Because that's where the secret lies of what's going on between Nucky and Willie.
Maybe.
If they have a true conversation, then Eli will be able to see what's going on with his son and Nucky at school.
I'm torn between the both of you. There's part of me that thinks that, like, you know what? Once you bury a body, you bury the secret in this show a lot of the times. But sometimes they come to. I just don't know if it's a strong enough storyline, too.
I think there's so much more unfinished business with Willie. Mm. This is not that Willie. You guys, Willie's being groomed to become like a consigliere. He's being groomed to become the.
This is why we need Ebony,
the accountant, the lawyer. He's being groomed by Nucky to be an educated member of the army.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to go with him. It's not gonna. So I'm saying there's gonna be more bodies in his journey that will eventually spring it. I don't know if Doyle giving him a case of liquor is what's gonna.
It wasn't giving him a case of liquor.
This
is
another
he
teen episode.
Poisoned. I like the teen episode.
I'm teasing you.
I like the college scene.
I did too. I loved it. I love the college scene.
Teasing you.
I loved. By the way, I love seeing the kids
this
in school.
This is about the fact that he accidentally killed someone and didn't go to his father, but went to his uncle.
Okay, but that doesn't have much to do with Doyle, other than he could have gotten the alcohol from anybody, but he could have.
I'm talking about how, like, Doyle is technically, like, the key to this secret.
Yeah, maybe he'll be the one to reveal it, but I don't see him killing Doyle over this or something like that.
I don't see it.
And let's talk about Eli being so emotional about his own kids. I'm trying to rush through, guys. I'm sorry. He knows he's separating from, he's losing Willie. Willie's growing up. He's such a traditional guy with the family, and he's feeling it. He's feeling it from the wife. He's talking about, I want to go to Philadelphia. I want to see what's up with Willie. And when he's really touched by the fact that Eddie had two children.
Yeah, why? I see why Eli is touched. I'm confused why Knox was moved by it. But he just...
Well, I don't know if Knox was moved. No, no. Yeah, he's faking it. No, but that's why. But again, that's why I love the no wink. There's no wink to the camera. Like, look, I'm pretending to be. But I don't see that often in shows.
Yeah, really?
Or movies.
I guess so.
There's no wink. So I love that. But anyway, he's very emotional about seeing the two children because he's thinking of his own kids.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, God, you think you know someone and you don't really know them.
And then, you know, I think he has a sixth sense. Like, he hasn't heard from his son. He's away. There's something wrong.
His sixth sense is failing him.
Like, he wants to reach out. The wife's going, don't do it. And so I just, you know, he's a man with a lot of concern and a lot of weight on his shoulders.
And the weight on his shoulders is distracting him from the wolf behind his back.
Pretty much, yeah. Absolutely.
But he did see the...
He saw the emblem.
Which hopefully that means something later, because right now Knox has the keys to the kingdom.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to need you to go and check out all these other accounts too. And Willock screaming, no!
Yeah, we need to figure out the emblem. We need to find out what the real letter from Eddie said, because I just really want to know that. Oh, one of my favorite moments was when he did find the safety deposit box in the bird feed. earlier on when they were looking for this, mm-hmm. just because I thought that there was such a nice detail. Sorry, this is a little bit of a side note. But it, to me, it meant that it was only going to be found by someone who is good-natured and was his friend, because they would make the effort to feed his birds.
I know.
And it wouldn't just be taken by someone rummaging through all of its stuff. It would be taken by someone who cared about him as well. So I just liked that little side.
Yeah. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful
moment.
And
I'm going to totally miss Eddie. Guys, I'm sorry, because we have to rush through. So let's talk about Nucky. And he and Margaret, it's nice to see Margaret back with short hair. She talks about riding the subway, and he's just confused. I wonder, was he confused because, don't you have a limo? Or was he confused because, what's a subway? I have to find out when the subways were created.
I think he just wasn't expecting her to become such a city woman.
Ah, very good. That's why I love having you here.
Mm-hmm. That's all I was thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't really... this is the first time she's fully self-sufficient, and I think it is a bit of a surprise. I was surprised, like that she had a job and she's working.
I wasn't.
Really?
Oh my God, Margaret is such a survivor, and she's so smart. Not at all. I mean, not at all.
I thought it was. It was. It wasn't easy. I guess is where I'm going with it for her. I mean, before she would have rather been with Nucky, who had mm-hmm. lots of money, than work. So right. It was, I mean, she's always had the choice to work. It's always been there. But this time around, she's like, maybe this is the safer route for my children.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely, I don't think she could have just come back for one episode. So I'm interested where she's going to go and how they're going to really intertwine her back into this story.
And there's more with the son. We know of that. Course. We know he's a kooky character. It's fun there. And I just love the box. Is there a creature in it?
You don't put something alive in a box.
Right. Ooh, and it's like, so awkward between them. And the way they talked in riddles to mm-hmm. each other, you know, it was a well-written, well-directed scene. Also, mm-hmm. The fact that she knew you don't like cinnamon. Like, she knows him.
That was...
And he's like, well, you know, I ordered what
that woman over there had one.
Right. And for some reason,
I thought I had a craving. I don't have the craving.
Right. What's the subtext of that?
I don't know. He's trying blonde. He's with a blonde in Florida. I mean, that's not really like his temperature or his style, really. He usually likes young women that he can take care of or damsels in distress. And this woman is not. Sally is not a damsel in distress by any stretch of the imagination. She's a little fiery, like cinnamon.
Yeah, I mean...
Right, there you go.
It also goes back to the fact that what destroyed their relationship was him looking at other women and, well, not completely, and falling in love with this other flapper that mm-hmm. he'd been through like 50 times before and knew that it wasn't going to work out with. And he found Margaret, mm-hmm. which was something different, and then kind of ruined their relationship to go back.
So now we go down to see Sally, and we see that Sally's just like firebomb and really tough.
Like Annie Oakley.
Really mm-hmm. smart.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see the world of Tampa, which is every bit as thuggish, but much more swamp-like blue-collar. It's not it's not the city slickers. It's the country version.
Yeah.
And those thugs down there are very strong and ironically run by a guy named Mr. Pierce, who is really Petrocelli. Mm-hmm. So he's another one hiding his past like Eddie did. And he's Sicilian, and all the Sicilians back then knew each other. And, of course, he knows Masseria. And he knows – he sends a subtle message to Lucky saying – you know what? I know you're doing something naughty behind your boss's back. That'll get us both killed. And, you know, basically, I've got to bring him in. And this sends Lucky out of the deal.
When we thought that Meyer and Lucky were back, like, had their friendship foundation again.
It'll be back again. But I would say, I have something more racist for you, Martin. I know we got to go soon.
Excellent.
But just watching the Jewish businessman and the Italian businessman. Because... The Jewish businessman in Meyer is like, what do you mean? It's a business decision. What is the problem? We've come up with a good deal. It doesn't matter. We didn't bring him in. Now bring him in. Now he's going to make a ton of money. He's like, no, because, again, I'll speak from the Italians, myself. Like, no, he's emotional. He's vengeful, and he's going to
he's
going to
kill me.
He said he's going to kill Nucky still, no matter what. Doesn't matter if they're making money or not, and he's going to kill me. It's just very interesting. And then they sadly have to part ways, and then there's a little dig he throws at him, says, you little sheeny. Mm. And it's sad. And Meyer says, well, yeah, now thanks. So now I know how you really felt all this time. But we know historically they are BFFs.
Yeah.
So they're going to be okay. But it's interesting because – now what happens without him in that deal? And then but Masseria
comes in. That's what happens.
That's right. But also Masseria is going to find out that there's money down there. And those guys don't take kindly to finding oil wells and other people drilling into them. It doesn't matter if it's out of this section. So anyway, there's more good stuff to come.
It's just so interesting that you think it's going to be quiet and peaceful for 1 second. And they're like, you're hunting over there? I want to hunt over there too.
That's it.
There's no rest.
Talk about Sally and the look when he partners her in you see that look. And my take on the look was that she was stunned and also like, wow, like I've got kind of a good thing going here. I'm tough. I run this bar. I make my money. But ultimately, I know guys are the bosses and I'm okay with that. I have my little niche, my little corner. Now you're really asking me to do a lot more. So she was shocked. And I feel like she realized, holy crap, these are very big shoes you're asking me to fill.
I almost felt like that he did that publicly so she couldn't say no. Because if she backed down in that moment, then they would have seen her as weak. But because he announced it publicly, she was like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's how it goes. So now she's whether she likes it or not, she's stuck.
I thought it was interesting because I felt like she, in the past episodes, she was the one who kind of put her stake in things out there. Like, she made it known that she was a powerful woman and had connections and was kind of wanting to be involved, like, sitting down with the guys, having a drink with them. So, like, when she was shocked, I was like, well, maybe it's the shock of finally getting what you want, or maybe it's the shock of she finally got what she wanted, but it was only after she had sex with him. So it's now she has these, like, two confounding things, business relationship, sexual relationship, and I think it's going to be interesting to see which one she wants to participate in most.
Interesting her quote about the alligators, they're nasty by the time they get down here. So is that who's nasty by the time they got to Florida? Right? Maybe all of the people that we're dealing with.
I just who plays with alligators?
I do all the time. What are you talking about?
What?
They're nice.
It's just interesting. I love the contrast of, I like the college. I'd love seeing what a little elementary school looked like back then. And now I love seeing what Florida looked like back then.
It's pretty cool.
Kevin, are you about to throw us to predictions?
I am gonna,
before you do that, I should read some of my August.
Please.
Yes, please. Thank you.
From last week. These are Mike August, for those of you who don't know, he sends us the catches of the week after he's had time to look actually at these episodes, watch them a couple times. And so a couple things really fast that he sent. Reoccurring symbolisms last week. We talked about the birds in the cages. But also there was a lot of mention of Indians and American flags. So just looking back if you want to find those. Also he said, during the interrogation of Eddie, he felt that the broken piano represented Eddie being a broken man, and the walls were stripped bare and exposed, also a representation of what was happening to him. Other symbolism was, while Willie was in jail, he was smoking, and that was because the truth was clouded. Finally, George said, God damn it, while getting frustrated with the crowd at Western Electric, and this is a total, opposite to him being Van Alden, because Van Alden would have never taken the Lord's name in vain. So by saying God damn it, we're really seeing the shift of him entering in this mafia world. And that was just something that I found really interesting that he pointed out, because we've been talking about if this religious point of view still exists in Van Alden. And so according to Mr. Michael August, that line was the seal of the deal. He switched over. He's completely George Mjolnir now. Mm-hmm. No more Van Alden.
Okay.
And I just think it's interesting comparing Van Alden to our new Mr. Knox and how they're both told to stop and they both keep pushing. And I'm wondering if we're going to have to stop.
And one is even more twisted than the other.
Exactly.
Can we go to predictions?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Martin, so nice to have you back.
It's nice to be back.
Fast.
It's nice to be home.
So fast on the drop. Okay, really quick. We're going to see Torrio and Capone. We know historically that, well, I don't want to give it away because I don't want to be a spoiler, but I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you want to know what's going to happen, according to history, look it up.
Yes, and I still think that we stick to the history when it's historical characters. When they change a last name here and there, they play. But anyway, messed up shit's going to go down in Chicago. And we know Joe Torrio more and more wants to back away from this because we know historically he goes over to Italy and actually lives a long life. So we're going to be seeing that next week. I'm personally excited to see that.
Great.
Masseria, we see him, whatever he's going to find out about Florida. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Chalky and the girl, and I think this is where it's going to be like, well, do you want to be my sugar daddy, my pimp now? Are you going to, you know, am I going to switch sides?
I think that I'm going back to your last one before this question. I think that we're going to see Lucky have to kind of decide between Joe and between
Lucky.
No, Meyer.
Meyer, yes. That's same difference, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to come out, is Masseria is going to be want to get on this pot of gold, and he's going to want to get in there, and Lucky's going to find his friendship and his Bosch relationship tightened even more, and I think he's going to have to choose.
Or do you think he'll be double agent? He'll go back in on the deal on behalf of Masseria without Lucky knowing?
If he did that, I really think it's only going to be to warn his friend.
I'm just so curious what's going to happen with Jillian right now, because she is so out, like her storyline is so out of the loop with Nucky, with Chuck, with everybody. Like it is so
drugs either from Mr. Oxford
from Miss. Ooh, that's true.
So
ooh,
that's why she may not clean up. Right. That's why she may not clean up. She might pretend to clean up to this guy, but
so either she's coming in like full speed in these next few episodes, or getting out. But I'm just very curious at what this season holds for her.
Yeah, because it's gonna be more than the sun. All right, Martin, you can take us out of here. You guys, where do we find you?
Ooh, at Bethany on Instagram or at Bethany with an IE on Twitter.
Here. That's H-E-R-E.
That's Sarah Stretton. You guys can stalk Sarah Stretton online. You can Facebook creep like I do. You do. You just, you get on somebody's Facebook account.
It's
you creep
boring.
And you creep and you creep.
I'm no fun.
And then you can see Sarah
I'm
too.
Really no fun.
All right, you guys, at Undergaro, even though I never tweet. And please keep your questions and comments coming to iTunes and to YouTube. We'll try to deal with them, and we'll probably have Ebony back next week. Thank you.
Yeah.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Pleasure later. That's Sarah Stretton.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.